We are Rogue Media Sports.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
All right, it is the Doomsday Podcast in the aftermath of the Cowboys' 31-10 loss in Orchard Park, New York, in Buffalo, where the Buffalo Bills just put it on them. And, I mean, as horrible as the stats are for the Cowboys, and Ed Werder joining me, who has been at the stadium since about 8 this morning, and did some really nice pieces, and then, of course, has done all his post-game work and is finally in the warmth out of just the waterlogged situation that was Buffalo. What do they call that now, Ed?
Highmark Stadium.
Yeah.
Not high marks for the Cowboys in Stretch's grading, I'm assuming.
No, and you'll hear from Stretch later in the program. But, Ed, even like the stats I'm looking at for the Cowboys, like they actually look better than the Cowboys played. Like it was horrific. You having been there and visited with people before the game and then watching how it played out, how surprised were you, given the fact that you've now had going on 30 years of things to compare this to with the Cowboys, and how was Jerry? I mean, did you see, did he seem stricken by what he observed?
As far as I know, Jerry did not talk to the media after the game, as he typically does, at least at home. And you know, I was at the stadium early this morning doing television work, and Mike McCarthy, as he typically does on road games, especially when he's not familiar with the stadium or the opponent, or he thinks there might be some weather involved, he will come out early with Britt Brown and the training staff and Bucky Buchanan, the equipment manager. He did that today and was walking around the field. He was mostly trying to get a sense of the wind and the rain and how wet the turf was, but most concerned about the wind. And I said to him, well, I mean, I know you prepared your team for this. You're from Green Bay. You know the effects weather can have on a football game, especially on a visiting team in December. So you did all the wet ball drills with everybody all week. Dak Prescott, the centers, the perimeter players on both sides of the ball. You know, don't you feel you're pretty well prepared for that? And he said, well, yeah, but I mean, it's not like we grade those drills or something. But he just seemed obsessed with the looking at the flags at the top of the stadium and getting a sense for whether Brandon Aubrey's, you know, field goal streak might be in danger at some point today. So I didn't get the sense from him that he was overly alarmed, but I will say that just because of what happened to them in San Francisco in week 5, when they got blown out by 32 points, a worst loss Dak Prescott's experienced in his career and the worst that Mike McCarthy's had as a Cowboys coach, you know, I think we've never completely trusted them. And, you know, I mean, Buffalo, they're 7-6, but they've been playing better. We know they have a franchise quarterback in Josh Allen, widely respected around the league as one of the, you know, top handful of quarterbacks in all of football. For much of his career, people have thought he was at least second to Patrick Mahomes. And then you look at, hey, Buffalo, they're 15-2 you know, since 2020 at home in December, January. So with that and the weather, this is not going to be easy. But I didn't also think it was going to be easy for Buffalo, and it was exactly that. And it was almost, if it hadn't been for the garbage touchdown at the end of the fourth quarter, with Dak still in the game at a time when Mike had thought about pulling him out, and probably should have, if it hadn't been for that touchdown, Matt, a 28-point loss would have matched the second worst loss of Dak's career behind the San Francisco loss. Could have had two of his worst losses of his entire eight-year career in this single season. But I do think, and we need to get more into this, but you, I know you have to interrupt the proceedings here momentarily, but, you know, I think today was the day the Cowboys recognized we're not the same team at home that we are on the road, and this is a big problem. A big problem.
Yeah, I think so. And, Ed, you can kiss the MVP talk goodbye on a day when the Niners got things done and Purdy and McCaffrey bolstered their cases. Dax was blown to smithereens as he finishes the day, 21 for 34, 134 yards in an interception. And Ed, I have a new contender in the MVP race. Are you ready?
Please.
His name is James Cook. He is the running back for the Buffalo Bills.
I'm familiar with his work. I know his recent efforts have been very impressive. He's got like a five-game stretch of having over 100 scrimmage yards, but he had 100 yards rushing by halftime against the Cowboys defense that had not given up an individual 100-yard rushing game all year. And he finished with 221 scrimmage yards and two touchdowns. First running back for Buffalo since Thurman Thomas in 1991. Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm behind that candidacy. Yeah.
And I have two defensive player of the year candidates also to bounce off of you. Here they are, Malik Hooker and Jonathan Hankins.
whose candidacy took root in their absence today from this woeful effort in all three phases. Cowboys dominated every which way by every phase of the game. And I'm going to blow your mind when we come back, when I give you some statistical, historical information about this Cowboys team.
Whoa. I think that's what they call a tease in the business. Stephen Simcox, our fearless producer there in McLennan County. Please, sir, play the music. It is the Doomsday Podcast. Headquarter Matt Mosley and a 31-10 loss. And Ed, let's get right to it. I mean, you kind of got us excited. You can kind of keep teasing it throughout the show if you'd rather end with it. But you always do a nice job of putting these things in perspective, sometimes with the help of the ESPN stats and information, sometimes just things you dig up from all your years of coverage. But what do you have for us that I would think kind of illustrates what this day was like for the Cowboys?
Yeah. So like I said, you know, before our musical introduction, the Cowboys finally seem to be recognizing what they've proven throughout the season, that they're one team at home and a far lesser one on the road. And to me, this seems destined for eventual postseason failure because they're probably going to be on the road in the playoffs. And the Cowboys revealed that flaw again today, you know, clinching a playoff berth before the game even started. McCarthy said, you know, he didn't inform the players of it. In fact, this was the first he had heard of it after the game. And then to be physically dominated for four quarters in a 21-point loss to the Bills on the road. The Cowboys now – so here we go. The Cowboys now have a 3-4 record on the road. They average just 21.7 points per game. Compare that to their 7-0 home record and their average at home of 39.9 points per game. That's a difference of 18.2 points per game, the third largest in the Super Bowl era. And here's where I'm going to blow your mind. Guess what? Mike McCarthy has coached two of the three teams now on that list. Not only are the Cowboys on that list, but so are the 2014 Green Bay Packers. And so the Cowboys, I think, left, you know, Buffalo just completely puzzled about who they are and what they're capable of. McCarthy said, you know, this was part of his message to the team after the game, was that they have to, there's just too big a difference in the way they play at home versus the way they play on the road. They're aware of it. They got a long flight home to talk about it, think about it. And then obviously they've got to get ready for, you know, Miami next week, which is another road game. Three of their next four games are on the road. You know, Dak Prescott said, you know, it really is a huge difference. Next week of preparation, honestly, he said these next few weeks is about figuring out why that is and trying to close that gap. He said, obviously, we'd love to come out and start like we play at home, produce like we do at home, but that just hasn't been the case. And I thought really the best comments of all came from Micah Parsons, who, you know, pulled up his hoodie and in a very low voice said, honestly, it's just unacceptable. There's no excuse for it. It's mind-boggling. I don't understand why we're not playing well, why we're not playing together on the road. It's something we need to look at and get better because, as he said, they're on the road next week against Miami. In fact, like I said, they play two of their final three regular season games on the road. And one of the defining characteristics of this Cowboys team has been their ability to avoid losing consecutive games. In fact, since the start, if you need to be encouraged about next week, since the start of the 2022 season, the Cowboys are the only team in the NFL that hasn't suffered back-to-back losses. But they're at Miami coming off this game. And, you know, this game was just – and I asked Dak this. I said, you know, the only two games this year where you have not been competitive as a team were at San Francisco and at Buffalo. And I'm wondering, you said after the San Francisco game, the thing that bothered you the most was the reaction. The team didn't fight. And you vowed to McCarthy that would never happen again. Did you see that same problem today? And he said no, he didn't, that he thought it was a different reaction to adversity. And he cited Zach Martin, you know, getting a personal foul penalty for knocking the defender down after Dak took a hit as he was sliding and got hit in the head. He got hit in the head twice going down, which I thought Buffalo was trying to send a message to Dallas. They were trying to physically intimidate the Cowboys and letting the quarterback know there was no avoiding contact. If you run, you're getting hit. We don't care if it's 15 yards. That it was going to be that kind of a physical game. So I thought those were kind of the interesting components post-game to the comparisons we might make to what happened in San Francisco and what happened tonight in Buffalo.
All those are very interesting things. And then, of course, you made me start thinking about what happened in 2014 because that started sending off alarm bells in my head. And the same Mike McCarthy, where did the Cowboys 2014 season end? But against the Packers in an infamous 26-21 loss, the Packers would then go on to the NFC title game that year. And I believe this is the year you're saying was the huge discrepancy for a Mike McCarthy team. And that team suffered a collapse in the game and got beaten overtime by the Seahawks in Seattle. Did end up going to the Super Bowl. So anyway, I started thinking about all those things you brought up.
Nice. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's interesting to me that, I mean, penalties are an issue again, right? The Cowboys went into the game tied with the Jets for the most penalties in the NFL at 97. And then they basically gave away 21 points in this game because they had personal foul penalties that extended Buffalo drives when the defense was off the field otherwise. I mean, Jayron Kearse, that was a questionable call. Sam Williams should have blocked the punt, but he missed the punt and got the punter. That led to a touchdown when they had the ball turned over to him. And then the DeMarcus Lawrence late hit on Josh Allen after he threw incomplete on third goal. That was another big penalty that turned into points. So that was 4 points on the law penalty, 7 points on the Williams penalty and 7 points on the questionable Kearse penalty. But again, penalties getting in the way. And
yeah,
the defense has 3 games where they did not create a takeaway. Only 3 games all year. Those games are at Arizona, at Philadelphia, and at Buffalo, all losses.
And by the way, I joked about James Cook. He was unbelievable and had over, 220 total yards, combined yards, 179 rushing yards. And we sort of established the way you neutralize Micah Parsons. It's just don't throw the ball. I mean, it's pretty simple, right? Josh Allen comes out and this guy's been a great quarterback at times in the league. You were talking about him earlier. He goes 7 for 15. He only has to throw the ball 15 times. They just ran the ball over and over and over again. And Cook was phenomenal on his two. He had two catches on three targets. He dropped one, probably could have had another touchdown. And he ends up with over 40 yards on those two receptions combined. And to your point though, Ed, the Lawrence one, I mean, that one in looking at that and looking at the replay, it looked like Allen did sell that one. He was like pointing to his head. The call was made. It did not look like anything severe. But again, anytime the refs think you've gone anywhere near the neck or the head, they're going to make the call. And in that case, he kind of went to the chest, really, but they made the call and they give up the touchdown. But you're right. They were going to get at least force the field goal there. And then the curse one was on a second and 19 after they had finally one big pass rush. You remember that only way they can get a sack is because they called the play, right? Josh Allen's forward progress had been stopped. And
Mozzie Smith. Yeah.
Yeah.
He actually shed Mozzie Smith, but the officials correct. Blew the whistle and he got a sack. And I think on the curse play that if the receiver catches the ball, he just gets tackled, you know, but instead he misses the ball, doesn't catch it and he gets hit. And now it appears to the officials he was hit, you know, for no real reason. And it was, you know, unnecessary roughness, but it wasn't unnecessary roughness. If he catches the ball and does his job, he gets tackled by Jayron Kearse and the whole thing's over. It was a ridiculous set of circumstances.
Yeah, that's true. And again, that was the helmet was involved there in terms of on the punt. And I saw McCarthy talking to his buddy Fossil right after that. And there's been some talk even after the game. Did McCarthy know that they were trying to do a punt block there? Like what was the whole scene like? Well, and he was seemingly kind of questioning Fossil after the play, but the truth is the guy came so open. It was an easy block and he goes up in the air and the punter does a nice job somehow slipping the ball out from under him and then takes the hit. And Ed, I thought to myself, well, I don't know if that guy can punt anymore today. And I don't think it really mattered. Did it? Didn't they? They were running.
They didn't have to.
I don't remember them ever having.
Yeah. Sam Martin did a great job getting that punt off. I have no idea how he did. He almost got the first punt block too. The Cowboys were clearly aggressive in that aspect of the game, and that means they thought that Buffalo was vulnerable to having a punt blocked, and it could have been a turning point play, but instead it was a turning point play for Buffalo. And you know, the to me the larger point, and you were talking about James Cook, who's been playing well, but just Buffalo, you know that given the game plan and like you said, Josh Allen completed 7 passes and they blow the Cowboys out by 21. They score 31 points completing 7 passes. I mean, the fact that this Buffalo coaching staff really went against type. I mean, they're not a power running team. They're a top 10 running team kind of in the area where the Cowboys are. But they're primarily a passing team and they're really only a running team, you know, that strikes fear in opponents if Josh Allen's doing the running. But today, they clearly saw the Cowboys were vulnerable in that regard. And they had all kinds of problems tackling Cook when they weren't dominated up front. I mean, the Bills ran by design on 71% of their plays, excluding the kneel downs at the end of the half and the end of the game. This is the highest rate in the entire NFL this season and the highest rate for the Bills since 2017. They have not run the ball at somebody like that in 6 years.
Golly.
That's how vulnerable they saw the Cowboys being up front.
Yeah, and what do you think Miami and Detroit are thinking about? Do you think when What do you think when they're setting that thing up? I know Miami loves to throw the ball, and they've got Tyreek Hill. But even two weeks down the road, you think Dan's thinking, man, I wonder, we should try to throw on them. I mean, they're going to come in.
Doesn't Raheem Mostert have 20 touchdowns already?
Yeah.
Chain is going to be back in the lineup, and Hill was held out today. He'll be healthy, presumably, for next week. Yeah, and the Cowboys on the road again. They face the very real risk of being embarrassed again, in my opinion.
The only good thing is this team, obviously, the Cowboys function way better at home. I think they'll have a bunch of Cowboys fans in Miami. It always is the way, you know. Today was a true road atmosphere. Maybe it'll be a little bit more for the and I was wondering, Ed, earlier when I kept, you know, James Cook kept making me think about something. And it what's funny is that it dawned on me that was the real name of Bus Cook, Favre's old agent, and I was double checking myself, and funny, I won't get into it, but interestingly, when I looked up Bus Cook, your name was attached.
Of course it was.
For some kind of famous quote Bus had. But anyway, kind of fascinating, this whole, everything that happened today. I would say, Ed, one thing we need to discuss is this offense, which you'd well documented, was in a great place. I mean, they were Dak MVP candidate, CD, one of the best receivers in the league. Brandon Cooks had been in a good place. Early on, Dak goes back, has plenty of time, misses, overshoots Cooks, who was wide open.
Yeah.
He was wide open on the play. And then Ed, literally, he got sacked a couple of times. They never, and then even when he tried to deliver the ball, think about it. Cooks had to make a great play to knock a ball away
to prevent an interception.
Like it, yes, yeah. And then one time he led CD into trouble down the field. It's kind of remarkable. And people say, well, Madison, it's the road, it's this or whatever. I mean, like, to win an MVP or to be a great quarterback, you got to be able to function on the road. And it's just kind of mind-boggling how you can be in this best stretch of your career. And again, all quarterbacks can have a bad game. It even happens to the great Mahomes. But man, what a bad time to have it happen.
Well, yeah, I think it's a bad time to have it happen. And here's why. You know, you're trying because of your success at home, you're trying to get yourself in a position where you're getting to play postseason games at home, and they probably squandered their last chance today. Because I mean, you look at the Philadelphia Eagles, who are trying to win the division, you know, from Philadelphia. They have the same record. The Cowboys had just taken first place from them last week by beating them at home at AT&T Stadium. And here are the Eagles, the team you have to beat out to win the division and get home playoff games. And, you know, they've now lost to the 49ers badly. They've lost to the Cowboys badly in consecutive weeks. And they're making panic moves. I mean, Nick Sirianni decides to change defensive coordinators with a 10-3 team going to Seattle. That's probably the only game they could lose, is Seattle. And so the Cowboys needed to win this game to really put the pressure on the Eagles tomorrow night, and they didn't do it. They failed to do it. They're going to relinquish control to the Eagles tomorrow if the Eagles win. And if they don't do it then, they'll probably lose next week in Miami and relinquish control. And the thing you said at the start was, did you see this coming at all? And the only thing I would say was, you know, people who asked, I'm like, well, they're going to be playing on the road. They're going to be playing in probably cool, wet conditions. Now, look, when the schedule comes out and you see you're playing in Buffalo on December 17th, you dream of a day like this because you think it's going to be 5 feet of snow and sub-zero temperature. So a little rain and 50 degrees, like, I'm sorry, that's probably as good as it gets this time of year. But yeah, the thing that concerned me about them going into this game was they're a passing offense. They don't run the ball well. And their defense is all about speed and creating a pass rush. They're a passing offense football team and a rush the passer defense. And those two things can be neutralized to some degree by the elements. And that's what I think has happened when they're not in their own building. They're not on their fast turf. They're not in an ideal conditions. They don't have the crowd noise advantage. So all of these things conspire against the things that, you know, they don't do well. If you run the football and play physical and stop the run on defense, then that travels. The way the Cowboys play doesn't travel. The Cowboys, that's why McCarthy wanted to be able to run the football. He wanted to be a running team, but they proved early in the season they couldn't do it. And so he transformed them into this pass first, you know, Dak centric team. But I would just say, who did anything today? Who on this team did anything today? Dak didn't do anything. CeeDee Lamb didn't do anything. Zach Martin missed most of the game with an injury. Micah Parsons didn't do anything. Who did anything?
I would just say maybe Pollard seemed to run okay when he got an opportunity. That's about okay. It. Yeah.
And Brandon Aubrey didn't miss any field goal attempts.
Brandon Aubrey in the elements continued to be perfect. But to your point from earlier, we're sitting there and they got like a meaningless touchdown and they left their quarterback in. And oh, by the way, he was still getting hit. I mean, to his credit, he's in there running and trying to score. But I don't know if that was the wisest thing in the world. Like, late in that game, CD didn't look fully healthy. They could have gotten Dak out of the game. I mean, Cooper Rush with 8 minutes to go was throwing everything on and warming up. And then you come back from break and there's Dak still out there. I'd gotten my tweet ready. You know, here comes Cooper Rush because they showed him. He's like, okay, here I go. I'm going to get my opportunity.
And McCarthy explained that he did intend to take Dak out, but that the possession wound up getting extended several times to the point where he couldn't really take him out in the middle of the drive. He didn't like who he was out there with necessarily, but he really didn't feel like he could pull him at that point in the game. But, hey, that's, you know, maybe that's another of McCarthy's mistakes, because he also made a mistake, I think, by not throwing the challenge flag when Stephon Diggs seemingly fumbled. McCarthy, you know, they obviously hustled to the line of scrimmage for a reason. So take the chance. Okay, your guys upstairs don't have a clear view. They're not sure. You know what? There's a reason the Bills are scrambling to the line of scrimmage. Throw your challenge flag.
And how many times do we see it, Ed? That exact scenario, and the team's never able to get a playoff, right? They're trying, but they blow the whistle. Oh, they did throw the flag. And I think everybody's like, boy, if they're trying to hurry. Now, the one thing is, I heard after the game on the postgame radio saying the defenders were saying they, I didn't see that.
Throw
I didn't
the think flag. The def- yeah.
I didn't see the defenders react like you normally would. But you did see the team, as you said, racing up there. So that's another, you know, if you ding McCarthy on anything, game management has been an issue. And sometimes you do have to have a feel for things and go, there might be a reason this team's suddenly playing, not just like regular tempo, they're racing up there to try to get a play in. And sure enough, right after they run the play, we get to everybody in America gets to see the replays, and it was a clear fumble that was recovered by the Cowboys. That could have been a big play. What was it?
Yep.
Was it 14-0? I mean, they were still at least in the game. They were in the game. All right, Ed, I did want to say Blake Marrable, timeless classic Holmes. That's Marable, approachable luxury homes, Lake Highlands, Preston Hollow, Park Cities, Lakewood, Forest Hills, Richardson. And then, man, Ed, you're a guy, now you love the mountains, but you also love a good lake house. I mean, you love that rustic lake house setting. They build these gorgeous lake houses right out there on Cedar Creek Lake, which I grew up on, kind of the banks of Cedar Creek Lake down there in Kaufman County. So I love Marrable Homes. And Ed, I know you heard about their big presentation in the recent tour of homes in Lake Highlands, and just, I mean, you talk about kudos. I think they're going to sell 10 more luxury homes just based on that tour. And of course, based on the Doomsday podcast.
We sell it all. Yes. We got a lot of inventory and we move it fast.
We certainly do. Now, speaking of inventory, we are pleased to be joined by one of the harshest critics in all of the NFL. He goes by the name of Stretch. It is Glenn Stretch Smith, former Cowboys scout and coach. He's passing out his grades, and have your earmuffs ready if the kids are around. This is NSFW, not safe for work. Here is Glenn Stretch Smith with Stretch Plays.
All right, it is time for Stretch Plays, and Stretch is at the Channel 8 Studios, WFAA, getting ready to do some TV tonight on that sports special, Joe Trahan's sports special. But he always joins us on the Doomsday podcast. And Stretch, a lot of people kind of waiting to see. I think there's a lot of areas this team did not show up in. Let's start with James Cook. I mean, he put 179 on them. At one point, they put his total yards against the Cowboys' total yards, like late in the third quarter, and it was early in the fourth, and it was just absolute embarrassment. It was like 179 or 100, or actually his total yards were, when you his receiving, it got up over, you know, about 230 or something like that, or 250, compared to the Cowboys, who were at that point were just trying to, you know, chug above 100. Let's talk overall first. Just the overall showing in a big game that you needed, and obviously they needed it too, but to get completely outclassed by that, what was the most concerning thing to you?
Well, I mean, I'll start by saying, I know what it's like to go into Orchard Park. It's a tough place to go into and play. I mean, it's a different stadium. It's a different place. And it's a hard place to go play. I really believed in my heart of hearts that the Cowboys were mature enough to handle that. And I say that because when you look at how this team has responded from an injury attrition standpoint and from the guys who have stepped up, whether that be Bell taking Van Der Esch's place, whether that be Bland taking Diggs' place, whether it be Mozzie and Neville Gallimore, you know, stepping in for Hankins. We can talk about how the Cowboys allowed free agents to get out of here in Schultz and Noah Brown, and they haven't missed a lick. And I'm setting all that up because I really believe in my heart of hearts that that's what separated this team from teams in the past who had somewhat disappointed you when they got to the place where you thought, okay, well, this team's turned a corner and they're really ready to go make something happen. You say that, and then you look at what happened this afternoon to a team that was not ready to go in and play. They were not ready to go in and face a team who 2 weeks ago had a change at offensive coordinator, moving Ken Dorsey out, moving Brady in. You knew there were some things, there was some gray area in there that I felt like you could say, okay, Dallas is not real sure how this team's going to play. Hooker was out with the ankle. So how are they going to challenge, really playing a physical quarterback and someone that can run the football? And then when you saw what they did, it opens your eyes to a level of concern, because when you allow another team to impose their will, which you knew that Brady was going to rely on Cook to run the football, and they go out and they execute and they just hammer your ass. And I said ass, I'm 60 years old. I'm too old to get on here and say bottom and bobo and butt. you know, it's one of those things that leaves you, Matt, it leaves you shrugging your shoulders because they absolutely assaulted the Dallas defense. And I don't know that I've seen that defense miss that many tackles all year. So then that comes into play with where your Shiva getter was, which should have been your Shiva getter gauge should have been through the roof. You're playing for first place in the East and to win the division and to go out and play like that. I mean, it really leaves you questioning. It does me questioning, you know, hell, do I even know what I'm looking at? Because I really believe this team was going to and ready to take it to another level. And so to see that, it's very disappointing. It's very disappointing to see a team go to Orchard Park, New York, and I got all the issues. I get it's the hotel probably wasn't all that great. The airport's not that great. It's a gray city. It's an old stadium, and we could go on and on. But at some point, you know, Dallas had done what they needed to do. They had whipped Philadelphia in here and got themselves in a first-place tie, and then to go and allow Cook just to run the football right at you and you to have no answers is very disheartening.
All right, Cowboys blown off the field. And, I mean, really, it was 31-3 late. They made it 31-10 and just outclassed in every possible way. A lot of different things to get into. Stretch, the you had a chance to make a huge special teams play. Sam Williams comes in there. They're already down 7-0 and just absolutely goes up in the air and misses the punter's foot, and it's a rough in the punter. I mean, I don't think that was a questionable call at all. He ends up wiping him out, and that extends another drive. I mean, let's think about how many of those touchdowns they had extended. They had a second 19 on a play by Curse, you know, and you can argue whatever with that one. But, I mean, bottom line is they just kept extending those. Zero in for me, Stretch, if you would, even on that punt. I mean, you're a guy who comments on special teams a lot.
Yeah, in the first drive, Matt. I mean, the first drive where they, you know, where they flagged Lawrence for roughing the passer. I mean, he didn't hit him in the head. You know, could he have backed off there? Again, you're talking about a 250-pound quarterback where you're working all week and staying in your lane and understanding how physical he is, how he can run the ball. From the block and the punt, Sam should have not left his feet. You go for the front of the punter's foot and where the angle of the ball is going to come off. He should not have jumped. And when you jump, then you lose control of your body. And no question about that call. I didn't like the call on Lawrence, and I certainly didn't like the call on Curse. But I do believe that, regardless of all of that, I mean, they didn't have any answers to be able to stop Buffalo from running the football. And now this has been done to them by San Francisco, and that's done to them by Buffalo. And if you don't think that Mike McDaniel, who was the San Francisco offensive coordinator, is not going to come with Raheem Mostert and try to assault you running the football, you got another thing. The following week, you're going to get Dan Campbell and him wanting to run the football with Swift. And you know that you're going to have to face it from a physical standpoint. So, you know, we can look at it two ways and say, hey, they got 2 weeks here to get this, you know, to get this cleaned up, to get their run angles, to get their run fits, to get their run support better, to understand how to come downhill. I get it. Bell is playing there at linebacker. He's really a safety. But when you know they're running the football at you, you better get your shoulders over your toes and you better bring your ass downhill and come attack the run. Same thing with the safeties. They've got to come off the edge and set the edge. You can't allow them just to toss the ball and get out on the edge, not be able to control the perimeter. All of those things, I believe, Dan Quinn will get cleaned up. But it was tough watching it this afternoon, and I'm sure that on that 4-hour flight back home, it's going to be, you know, there are going to be some discussions as to how they're going to have to do some things differently, knowing you got to go play a Miami team who, like I said, the head coach comes from those San Francisco Shanahan roots and is going to do exactly that. You know what you're going to be dealing with having to go to Miami. As far as this game, I really think you got to try to put this behind you. You got to try to learn from it, and you got to try to put it behind you, because literally it was all the way. What we had seen the previous week, which was the Cowboys really physically handle then Philadelphia, then to go to Orchard Park, New York, and just get physically handled. I mean, those are two opposite ends of the spectrum, and that, it really does. It makes you question, I'm sure, everything that you understand about the game of football, and it also makes you question, was this football team ready to play? Were they ready to go in and get what they got, which was a physical brand of football, knowing that, I mean, Brady, the offensive coordinator at Buffalo, knew that he didn't have the best offensive line from a pass protection standpoint. Guess what he did know? We can go downhill and attack these guys running the football, and that's exactly what they did. And anytime a team imposes their will on you, I mean, it can set you back.
Yeah, it did feel like the Niners game a little bit, just a thorough domination of what happened. Now they go to 3-4 on the road. And the more this happens, the more likely they did clinch a playoff spot today, but the more likely it is that they'll be on the road in the playoffs, if not the first game, certainly the second game. And I mean, it does not look like, you know, a team that's ready to sustain and make a big run in the playoffs. People are going to want your take on the way Dak Prescott played. He came into the game possibly a front runner in the MVP race. He leaves the game out of the MVP race. Threw the pick late, but quite honestly, never was in rhythm. Misses Cooks when Cooks was open deep. And then, if not for Cooks, and maybe I'm trying to think CD, I mean, they had to break up interceptions. This quarterback did not have a good game.
No, be honest, he played poor. Played very poor. And so another, you know, situation where you're just kind of shrugging your shoulders, like, how can he play as well as he's played the last few weeks and then go play this poorly? I mean, it is a question that you've got to think about. The play calls, the plays that were set up, and you have to wonder, I mean, did McDermott absolutely outcoach Mike McCarthy? Because it certainly looked like that with how they were containing the run. There were times that they would bring the safety off the edge. Dallas had no answers for that. And then as far as how they were playing their coverage in the back end, they didn't play a lot of man coverage. They played a lot of zone coverage, and Dak had issues with that. And I'm saying issues because he had to hold the football a little longer, get guys across in other windows. And I'm saying when you're playing a zone team, you got to have guys that are able to clear certain levels and get into certain windows. And at times that makes you hold the football, get out of your rhythm. And it looked like that all night. I mean, it looked like he was completely uncomfortable. Like you said, they did do a nice job, and I don't have a problem with them throwing that deep ball early. But you know, when you have a chance and they pitch you an underhanded softball and you're not able to hit it out of the park, I think that changes the entire way that McDermott and his staff called the football game from a defensive standpoint. So yeah, it starts with the quarterback. He played poorly, made some poor throws. It's one of those things where, I get it when you lose Zach Martin to a quad contusion, and I don't know how long that's going to be. I mean, they had to put Bass in the game, and it looked like at times that, you know, where you felt good about the left side and Smith and Smith over there, they ran a simple TE, and they acted like they had a TE stunt. They acted like they had never seen that. It's one of those things where, again, all the way around, I thought Pollard ran the football okay. Other than that, I don't know that I could give you a winning grade from anybody on that side. And therefore, you got the result that you got, which was really, you know, Buffalo giving you that last touchdown really was a 31-3 thumping. I mean, and if you don't look at it that way, then, you got your rose-colored glasses on. But Dak's got to, he's got to try to figure out better presence on the road and better ability to go win on the road.
All right, so people always want to hear, and I know you're going to provide an overall grade. What is, it's certainly not anything close to a winning grade. What do you give this thing?
Well, I mean, I just think if you're honest with yourself, and yeah, we want to, you want to hear me give each guy a grade. You want to hear what does he think about this. You know what you did? You went up there and you got your ass whipped. That's what you did. You got your ass whipped. You took an ass whipping. And so my grade is AW because I'm trying to turn over a new leaf here, Mosley, trying to clean my language up. I'm trying to get to where I've got a better set of words and not such a simple mind trying to express itself. I don't know how else to say it other than that. Complete ass whipping from coaching, from the defensive side of the ball, to the offensive side of the ball, to the quarterback, to the offensive line, just secondary-wise did not tackle well. Defensive line did not play well. Linebackers did not get in their gaps. I mean, we could sit here and go on and on. It was an ass-whipping, and that's really the only way I know how to put it.
Right. That's the A and W, not a root beer, but an A-whipping. Is what you've presented us with, and appreciate you attempting to not use the language, but the Cowboys, I believe, drove you to it this evening, and I've got a new word. I'm going to share it with you after we're finished here that I want to hear on Channel 8 tonight. I think it's one that the folks will like, and it's one that I think is going to be a big player on the Doomsday Podcast in future shows. But a lot of people were anxious to hear from you this evening, and, of course, you did not disappoint. Have a great show on TV, and we'll talk to you next week as the Cowboys get it on in Miami Gardens versus the Dolphins.
I appreciate that. And, Matt Mosley, send me an extra $100 so I can go get some couch time to think about some counseling for my rough words tonight. Sorry to bother you tonight, Mosley.
There he goes. Off into the night. It is Glenn Stretch Smith, former Cowboys scout and coach, providing us stretch plays. And now a word from a guy that's friends with both of us. Stretch and I have known Randy Hudson for years. It is Hudson Financial Group, and I had a chance to sit down with Randy for a couple of minutes this past week. It is Mosley from the Doomsday Podcast. I'm with Randy Hudson of Hudson Financial Group, a company that he founded in 1988. Not too long after his playing days at the University of North Texas. And I'm with Randy today. And Randy, we love having you as part of the Doomsday Podcast. You've got a great business out here in Heath and, boy, Carthage down into East Texas. Y'all do great business. Tell us a little bit about what you started with and then kind of what your company has become, because in terms of, property and casualty insurance, it's amazing. But also, boy, you help a lot of CEOs, businesses. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing these days and to give people an example of what they could get involved with.
Sure, Matt. Thank you. Glad to be a part. We started this in 1988 when I graduated at what was North Texas State. We were the last class of graduates under North Texas State, so that makes us old, I guess. But I majored in insurance, had a double major in financial planning, and within 2 weeks, I was in the insurance business, opened up my first office, and 35 and a half years later, we're still doing it, so I guess we'll stick with it. My goal is to take care of people, okay? And a friend of mine and I were talking a couple weeks ago, and we said, 95% of your clients are your friends, and your friends are your clients, and you want it to be that way. So we take care of people, and if they need property casualty insurance from their business to their personal to their recreational activities, we can do that. And we do, but then we get into more in-depth planning because some people have more things that they need to be handled. So we can help them with tax planning, succession planning, the business planning side, setting up corporations and companies. And so with all that, you build a relationship that lasts for years. I do have some clients that we've had for over 30 years, and that's really neat to know, to watch us grow and them grow together. So the North Texas tie is real simple. I love North Texas and love to give back. And so that's just kind of, what we're able to do.
And speaking of friendships, you used to listen to, Randy Galloway and I were on 103.3 and then through Glenn Stretch Smith, who you've become good friends with and is a big part of this podcast. We all sort of got to know each other. So it's kind of part of the business. It happens in broadcasting too, but we love sending people to Hudson Financial Group. Randy, appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Anytime.
All right, there it was. And appreciative of Randy Hudson, our good friend, who you just heard from. Yeah, that's kind of neat. I got to spend a little time with Randy Hudson from Hudson Financial Group. And I just said, why not kind of hear it straight from the horse's mouth? And kind of fun to get to visit with him in person this past week. And he's a big Ed Werder fan, as you might imagine. Ed, closing thoughts tonight as we wrap things up. You've had a full day of activity on that ESPN, the Sunday Countdown show. And you began the day talking about takeaways, which the Cowboys got none of. They had the one sack at least. It was basically they didn't take the guy to the ground, but they did blow the whistle on one of those. And Mozzie Smith, I mean, Ed, right now fans are up in arms about a lot of things. One is our man Mozzie came in and, first round draft pick, and he's part of the issue. I mean, they ran at will on the Cowboys, and now James Cook, if based on playing against the Cowboys, that guy looks like one of the better all-around running backs in the league right now.
Yeah, I guess, kind of my final thought is going back to comparing this loss to the loss to San Francisco in week 5. And that's because there are only two games this year that the Cowboys have trailed by 14 or more points in. And it was tonight and it was at San Francisco. And they've now lost 14 straight games, including playoffs, if they ever trail by 14 points. Their last win came in 2020. Against the Giants in week 5. That's the last time they were down 14 and came back and won. And that just seems like an awful long time. If you have real character and you're an explosive team, you know what? Every time you're down 14, you don't lose. And that's why I asked Dak that question about whether he saw the same thing. And it was sort of hinted at, effort was hinted at with McCarthy too. And he said something to the effect of effort's a dirty word. He said, I'm just going to say, that we didn't finish as well as they did. We didn't finish plays as well as Buffalo did in any phase of the game. So I thought that was interesting that, all of a sudden there is some question about their resolve. And, no team, this is what I'm going to finish with, no team has been involved in more blowouts this season than the Cowboys. Their average game has been decided by 21.9 points a game. That's the second highest mark by any team through 14 games in NFL history. And the highest since you got it, the 1961 Houston Oilers led by Hall of Fame quarterback George Blanda. So it's a blowout one way or the other every week with the Cowboys. And mostly it depends on if they're home or on the road.
Golly. That was good stuff. I think Blanda was already 61 years old by then.
He looked it anyway. He looked it when he was 40.
Y.A. Tittle, another guy who looked older than he was. But if Ed, I'll close this way. If Mike McCarthy, and it sounds crazy, you know, based on last week, it was everybody was riding high, 10-3, back in, you know, first place of the division. Who knows, that the possibilities are endless. But if Mike McCarthy ends up getting himself fired, it'll be because of things like tonight, when they just get completely surprised. Whether we want to call it effort or quitting or not finishing plays, not even so much about that. It's a team showing up in a big game with a lot on the line and just not being able, just basically no showing. And it's happened, like you said, against the Niners. It's now happened against the Buffalo Bills. And Ed, I got to hand it to, I did some Fox National Radio yesterday with a guy named Steve Hartman, and he was throwing this theory out on, like, the desperate team sometimes, you know, win. The more desperate team. Cowboys are basically already in the playoffs. Well, by the time it started, they were in the playoffs. Ed, I would wonder if the Cowboys had some champagne before the game. Do you think they popped the cork and had some champagne? But the desperate team won. They won big. But let's not forget, and I know Vegas had Buffalo favored in this game, but Buffalo was 7-6. Ed, you're not 8-6. They're 8-6 now. You're not 8-6 because you're some kind of great team. I mean, obviously, they've had issues all year, and there have been moments when you thought McDermott could get fired, and maybe he still will. But the man, he gives very interesting pregame and training camp speeches, and I'd like to know, Ed, what he had to say today.
I don't know. I'm not getting into that. Okay. I'm just going to say, like, I don't think anybody's surprised that Buffalo won at home. Like I said, they're 15-2, now 16-2. December, January is a tough place to win this time of year. Nobody, I think, is terribly surprised Buffalo won. I think the surprise is that the Cowboys played so poorly in every regard and really throughout the roster. And like I said before, you know, none of the players who are making the biggest paychecks did anything of real consequence in this game. And I think that's disappointing that this game so resembled the loss to San Francisco that Dak Prescott vowed would never happen again. And I'm not saying it was exactly the same or as bad, but it was pretty bad. This is pretty bad.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think as a result of this, Ed, Dak may only end up making like $58 million a year rather than 60. Okay. This could impact that moving forward. Ed, good work. Great work today from early on, getting to watch you, even kind of trying to see what you were up to while I was in church today, praying for everything. We got a new music minister, Ed. Big day over there at Wilshire Baptist. But thank you, buddy, and good work. And we do need to make an announcement, a programming announcement. I meant to say this earlier. We are, Stephen, you, myself, in deference to our families and the fact that I don't know how many people would be tuning in on Christmas morning. We are going to take a rare week off for the Christmas Eve game. Now, that doesn't mean that Ed and I won't be watching every minute of it, tweeting about it, probably responding to you. So unless I get like enormous backlash, we are not going to do a Doomsday podcast. If we do one, it'll just be me because I'm giving everybody else the
is it a paid holiday?
The night off. Paid, that's right. All of them are paid. All right. Ed, Merry Christmas.
Same Stephen, to you. Same to everyone out there.
Yeah. Our
happy holidays.
Yeah, happy holidays to everyone. Happy Hanukkah to those that are celebrating that. Happy Kwanzaa. happy whatever you're up to these days. Thank you, Stephen Simcox. Thank you, Ed Werder. Everybody have a great evening, and we'll see you here in a couple of weeks after the Cowboys play the Detroit Lions. Good night, everybody.
Don't just ride the index. Seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet. Well, then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.